Seed of Abraham Ministries presents Rabbi Baruch and his three-part seminar on Islam and the Bible. This is part two.
In the book of Revelation, John speaks about that beast. And what I want you to see first and foremost, when he speaks in Revelation 13, he says the first beast, it comes out of the sea. John is standing on the seashore. He looks towards the water, and the sea is a very important term, biblically speaking. The rabbis will tell you that the term sea has two meanings. It's not either or, but we need to understand both interpretations are accurate. First of all, the sea, for example, some of you are afraid of flying. Now, did you realize that 2,000 years ago, no one was afraid of flying? But I'll tell you what they were afraid of. They were afraid of boats. Traveling by the sea was a fearful proposition. The sea is seen as unknown. It can change rapidly. So the sea and fear, from a biblical standpoint, go together. That's why when we get into the New Jerusalem, it announces that there's no more sea. The second thing that the sea represents, because the sea is always moving, the sea represents instability. So that's why there's a beast that rises out of the sea. He's going to rise at a time of great instability. Now, let's talk about who these beasts are. Initially, we find that John says that there's how many? Seven. The first is Egypt. The second is Assyria. The third is the Babylonians. The fourth are the Medes and the Persians. One empire, the Medes and the Persians. The fifth is the Greeks. Now, when John reveals this in Revelation 17, he says five are fallen. That is, in his time, five empires were, they've come, and they've gone. Who are they? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the fourth, Medes and the Persians, and the fifth would be the Greeks. And John says, and one is. Who was the empire in John's day? Rome. So we know who the first six were. No debate about that. But now we come to the seventh. Now, the seventh one is also the eighth. But what we're going to talk about at this time has initially nothing to do with any of those empires. For the rest of the time tonight, we are going to focus on another empire that is going to bring about that final beast, that final one. We know from Revelation 13 that final empire rises out of what? The sea. What do we mean by that?
Turmoil.
Excellent. Instability. And also, it's going to be very fearful. Those two things. Now, when Yeshua taught about the last days, he says that there are certain things that must happen. They are known as birth pains, correct? And what we need to understand is that these birth pains, there's the initial ones and then the latter ones. The initial ones are bad, but the latter ones are more intense. Learn this principle. The initial birth pains come before that final week that Daniel spoke of. That final, a biblical week, is 7 years. So the initial birth pains, and the birth pains bring, according to Messiah, they bring instability. They happen before that final 7 year period. It's the latter birth pains that begin the first or the last part, the first part of the last 7 years. Now, what I need to share with you at this time, we need to go back to what Paul says. Remember, we talked about how he remarked in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1 concerning the times and what? Seasons. There's no need for me to write. Now, it's very important, and we touched on this last summer. It's very important that we understand that when he says times and seasons, he's not using two words to describe the same period. He's speaking about two separate, two distinct allotments of time. When he talks about the times, the initial one, he's talking about an empire that is going to rise and bring about great instability in the world. He's going to rise not out of instability. He is going to bring the instability. Do you see the difference? Very important. There's going to be an empire, and it has nothing to do with those seven or the eighth. Meaning it's not one and the same. This empire that we're going to focus in on right now is not one of the heads. Now, did you hear that? It is going to be an empire that is going to create the situation for that last one, that eighth one, to rise up. That eighth one rises up out of great instability. Now, where we need to go at this time is to a scripture. Again, if you were at our conference last year, you recall that we spoke of, on Sunday morning, Daniel chapter 8. And there was known as an empire that was called the Ram. Now, I want you to remember that. An empire known as the Ram. This Ram is not part of that beast that has seven heads and literally eight. Very important. That Ram that we're going to focus in on tonight, he is not part of that vision that John saw of this beast that had seven heads. The purpose of the Ram is to bring about great instability in the world. And when we look at what Messiah speaks of, when we look at what the prophets reveal, there's going to be three sources of instability. Three sources of turmoil that is, in my opinion, on the horizon. I believe that we see right now in our days at this time the beginning of the Ram and him starting to bring about this instability in the world. Now, the first thing that the prophets teach is that there's going to be instability that is going to come through natural disasters. There's going to be an increase of natural disasters. For example, Messiah talked about there's going to be an increase in earthquakes. And we're seeing that in our days. In fact, if you look, you'll see that there's a great increase in earthquakes taking place. There's an increase in natural disasters. And because of this, we also find that these natural disasters don't only have to do with earthquakes and hurricanes and things such as this, but also the prophets use the word dever, which is pestilence or disease. And there's much more talk today. There's much more concern about disease in this world. Right now, they're talking about a disease, what's it called? The Zika in Brazil. There's been diseases in China. And one of the things, in fact, I heard this literally, if you were listening to NPR today, as I was driving here from Orlando, I heard them talking about disease control. And the person who was speaking from Washington, D.C. said, we have a problem internationally. You know what that problem is? Not that there's just diseases there, but the problem is many countries like China, they don't want to report that they have a disease problem. Why? It's not good for the economy. So what I want you to see here is that natural disasters and an increase of diseases, it's going to have many outcomes. It's going to bring instability, but it's also going to lead into the second source of instability and turmoil, and that is economic instability. There is coming an economic collapse. It's not because of the year of Shemitah. It has nothing to do with anything other than when we look at things, we see that there is great debt in the world, not just in this country, but in almost every country is crumbling because of debt. Now that's significant. That shows a spiritual problem. It shows a rebelliousness. What do I mean by that? It shows an unwillingness to restrain oneself. That's important. Because that is a characteristic of the ram. We'll see this in a few moments. The third source of instability is going to be brought on by social instability. There's going to be a rising up of people whose views and beliefs are very problematic. And we're seeing in this world, the United States, for example, we're seeing that people have just recently, a very different perspective. Things are changing rapidly. And these changes in perspective are going to bring about conflict, social conflict, which will cause instability. One of the great concerns, in fact, the United Nations just held a meeting concerning this, and that was on the problem, and don't miss this, religious extremism. Religious extremism. That's going to be very important tomorrow in our first session. Now, the outcome of all of these things is that this instability, I took a political science class my freshman year in college. I remembered one thing that the professor said. He says, instability is a catalyst to change. Mark that down. That's why we're going to enter into a time of turmoil, a time of instability to bring about a massive change. And one of the key components of this is going to be the ram. Now, there's another important aspect of this instability. Because of all of these things happening, there's going to be natural disasters, disease, economic collapse. People are going to become very desperate. And when you're desperate, you'll believe almost anything. You're going to be looking for someone who offers help, who is powerful. And that is going to give rise to the ram. Now, in Daniel chapter 8, we just want to talk briefly about a couple of verses. The scripture speaks of a ram, another word for a beast. And this beast, this ram, is going to come out of the east. Now, that's important. Because when we're talking about the east, it's always from whose perspective? Well, who's writing this? Daniel. And even though Daniel was in Babylon, when he says east, it's always from the perspective of Jerusalem. Always. So, east of Israel. And this ram is going to do something. It uses the Hebrew word menageach. Menageach, it has to do with an animal. Usually today we might think of a bull. One that is very angry. One that is beginning to think about charging. The bull does that for the purpose of intimidation. So one of the things we see about this ram is the ram is going to be fearful. He is going to bring about great intimidation among other people. And it says concerning this ram that he is going to spread out, and it says three ways. It says westward, northward, and also southward. So he's coming out of the east. And he's spreading in all directions. And what is he going to do? Well, if you read carefully, he is going to conquer. And he's going to conquer, and he's going to find initially no opposition. There's a phrase in Daniel chapter 8 that says, Kol chayot lo yamdu lefanav, which means there will not be any beast. What's a beast? An empire, or a kingdom, or a government. There will be no government, no kingdom, no nation, no empire that can stand before Him. It says that He is going to do as He wants. Why is that important? No restraint. He is going to go and conquer. He is going to move across the face of the earth. And everywhere He goes, He is going to bring about, the Scripture speaks of, oppression and suffering. And the sad truth is, initially, there is going to be no one to help. Now, here's where it gets interesting. We need to ask ourselves, who is this ram? And I believe, and if you believe that we are close to the last days, then you need to be able to answer who this ram is, and also, who's the seventh empire? That's what we're going to do, at least part of that tonight, and the second part tomorrow. What I want to share with you is the ram. It comes out of the east, and it is going to be the Islamic Empire. We are seeing it today with the desire to establish the caliphate. Caliphate, as I said earlier, it just means an empire, a rule. And what we see about this beast known as the ram is that he's going to be oppressive. He is going to bring fear. He's going to do whatever he wants. And there's going to be no one initially that stands against him. And I believe that's what we're seeing today. Now, whenever I share this, and the last time I did was shortly before coming to the States, I had a brief seminar, an afternoon seminar in Tel Aviv. And as we were going through this, an individual said, I know who the ram is. And he said, Daesh, or what we would call in English, ISIL or ISIS. Let me tell you, that ISIL is not the ram. Why do I say that? Very simply. When we look further on in the book of Daniel chapter 8, it says the ram is the Medes and the Persians. Now be careful. It gets a little confusing. When we talk about those seven empires, remember? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, what was the fourth? The Medes and the Persians. Although the ram is of that same geographical area, it is not that fourth one. Simply same area, same background, but it is not, the ram is not the fourth one. It has nothing to do with it. It's different in its character. It's different in its religion. It's different in its purposes. So the ram is going to be the Islamic Empire. And it's going to grow. It's going to do what it wants. And there's going to be no one, it says twice in Daniel chapter 8, there's going to be no one to stand against it. And there is going to be no one who is able to save. That is, there's going to be no help. It uses the Hebrew word matzil, which is in modern Hebrew a lifeguard. There's going to be no one to pull you out from this expansion, this oppression. It talks about how the ram is barbaric. It loves the shedding of blood. It rejoices in the misery of others. It rules by intimidation. Now, this is what I want you to see. I want you to see that as this is going on, there's going to be economic collapse. There's going to be social conflict. There's going to be, and this is the best example, religious extremism. And there's going to be a feeling of absolute hopelessness. This is the beginning of the birth pains. People are going to say, it can't get any worse than this. They're wrong. The birth pains are going to get much, much worse. But the ram rises to power shortly before. We don't know if it's 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever. But it's going to rise up and it's going to endure all the way until the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. And what's going to happen then? Out of nowhere. Now, understand what's being created. There's going to be a feeling of utter desperation among all people. They're going to feel as though there's no one that can help. Every other government, every other means of an empire, an army, they're helpless. They are not able to stand against the ram. In some of the rabbinical commentaries, they speak about the ram, and when they do so, they use the plural. Why? Because of abundance. They're going to be seen, the ram is going to be seen everywhere. No one can stand against it. A feeling of hopelessness. Nothing can help us. And then what's going to happen? We'll learn a Hebrew word. The word pit'om. The word pit'om means suddenly. Out of nowhere. We have an expression in English, out of the blue. Well, it's not going to be out of the blue. The blue usually refers to what? The heavens. No. There's going to be another beast. Now, this beast is the eighth, so it also has to be what? The seventh. Now, I want to focus in on the seventh beast. Remember what I shared with you earlier? We already know who were the first six beasts, correct? We said it. Then we posed a question. If you think that we're at the brisk of the last days, if that's the case, then you need to answer who's the seventh beast. If you can't, then that means perhaps that the seventh has not come. But what can we say about this beast and the heads? They all had something in common. When we look at Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and so forth, what do they all have in common? They were all persecutors of the Jewish people. Don't miss that. Every one of these heads that were on the beast, they were all persecutors of the Jewish people. Now, we have to think for a moment. When we look back over history, it is estimated, when we talk about oppression in the Scripture, there's a word. In Hebrew, it's galut. It means exile, but it means so much more than just exile. When you look at that word exile, it has to do with being banished. It means literally in the form out of place. Well, it's bad to be out of place. But the term galut means so much more in the biblical language. It just doesn't mean to be out of a place. It means to be highly oppressed. Now, when we think about the great oppressor, from a biblical standpoint, Babylon comes into mind. And it's estimated that the Babylonians killed between 500,000 and 2 million Jews. From that standpoint, Judaism sees that Babylon was the worst oppressor. When we think of galut or exile and oppression, Babylon appears in the prophets. But guess what? And in many of your lifetime, there was an oppressor of the Jewish people that was far worse than Babylon. Something that took place, how long ago? 70, 80 years ago. I'm speaking about the Nazi Empire. Now, there's clues in the Scripture. We know that Daniel saw something that he united together. When Daniel spoke about the Antichrist, he likened the Antichrist to one who would come after him, and most scholars believe that it's Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a Greek leader. He unites the Greeks and the Romans together with that final one. Now, what do we know about Greek and Roman? Where is it located? In Europe. So Daniel unites that final empire with the one that will be in Rome and the one previously that was in the Greek Empire. When we say Greek, we're not just talking about that country. The term Greek in Daniel's time, Greece was all of Europe. It was a colloquium for Europe. So what Daniel does is saying, if you want to have a glimpse of that final empire, take the worst of the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, and even make it more worse, and we're getting there. Now, when we talk about the Nazi Empire, it was known, Hitler called it, the Third Reich. Now, some people believe that he got that term from a book that was written approximately, I believe, in 1923 by a man by the name of Vanderbrück. And there he spoke about three empires, literally two, I should say. He spoke about the Holy Roman Empire that was in the 9th century up until the 8th or the 19th century. And then he speaks about the second one, the German Empire. So many scholars believe that Hitler took his term, the Third Reich, which means the Third Empire, based upon that book. That was prevalent among secular scholars. But biblical scholars, we don't see it that way. See, Hitler had an obsession with the past. Not with the earlier German Empire, not with the Holy Roman Empire, but going back. He saw himself as someone who was reincarnated as a great warrior, a Greek warrior, or a Roman warrior. When he used the term the Third Reich, the Third Empire, he saw himself as a resurrection of that Greek Empire, that Roman Empire, and now himself. Very prophetic from a biblical standpoint. Now, Hitler, we know that his empire oppressed and killed more Jewish people than any of those others. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying that seventh one, remember, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, there's the first six. I'm suggesting to you that the seventh one, I mean, think for a moment. Do you believe, and you're entitled to your own opinion, but it's hard for me to think that the empire that was so destructive, the most destructive to the Jewish people, three times worse, and is responsible for approximately 70 million deaths throughout the world, that would have no prophetic significance. It wouldn't be in the prophetic calendar. Now, when I say the seventh empire is Nazi Germany, understand what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Remember what the scripture says in Revelation chapter 17. It says that seventh empire is unique in a couple different ways. One of which is that it comes and it remains for how long? What does the scripture say? A short period of time. That's important. A relatively short to what? Those other empires. And when we look at Nazi Germany, you will find that it was relatively short, very short, compared to all of those other empires that Revelation chapter 17 refers to. Now, what am I saying? I am not saying that when we deal with the Eighth Empire, I believe it's a resurrected Nazi empire, but I don't want you to think that I believe that Hitler's going to come back, that the mark of the beast is going to be a swastika. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying it's going to be based initially in Europe. Secondly, it is going to be a great persecutor of Jewish people. And another important point to see is this. When speaking about that seventh, that eighth empire, Remember, it must remain a short period of time, and then what does it suffer? The Scripture says it suffers a mortal wound and is no more. And then we look and we see that it's a resurrection. People thought he was dead and over this empire. And they're going to be shocked. And if you look carefully at the book of Revelation, it says not only shock, but there's going to be great fear when he is revealed. Now, what's happening? How do we see this? Well, remember, Messiah talked about what? Birth pains. Initial, but there's also the latter. Understand what's being set up. There's going to be a time of great instability that the ram is going to play a great role in. He, through his spreading westward, northward, and southward, he is going to bring great instability in the world. There's going to be great oppression. There's going to be a feeling of hopelessness. All the other animals, that is, all the other beasts, cannot stand before him. Utter hopelessness. And then remember the Hebrew word, pitom. Suddenly, out of nowhere, another empire is going to rise up. Another beast. And it's called, in Daniel chapter 8, the goat. Now, what is this goat going to be initially likened to? He's not going to at all appear initially as the Nazis appeared. See, one of the things that he's going to do, remember it speaks about Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, he speaks about times and seasons. The times belong to the ram. And he is going to create havoc. But out of nowhere, in a sense of a supernatural way, the goat is going to come on the scene. And he is, the Scripture says, going to defeat the ram supernaturally. He is going to bring stability. He is going to bring prosperity. He is going to bring security and peace. But all these things are what? False and temporary. The world is going to say, who is like who? The beast. There's never been anyone like him. There is world prosperity. There is security for the world. Now, someone, and when we were at our break, a gentleman was mentioned, and he teaches that the religion of the Antichrist is Islam. It is not. The religion of the ram is Islam. It comes out of the East. But the religion of the Antichrist is not Islam. Why do I know that? Because Islam, even prophetically, it says when the end times come, when their view of Jesus comes back, what's he going to do? He's going to persecute and kill and stamp out the peoples of the book, Christians and Jews. He is going to bring the world to believe in Allah. He is going to convert the world to Islam. That's their view. But what do we know about Islam? Well, Islam is a divided religion, is it not? I mean, we know more Muslims die at the hand of other Muslims than any other way. It is barbaric. It is very cruel. It is oppressive. And what I want you to see is that the Antichrist, by the way, another scriptural citation, Revelation chapter 13. Remember the first part of that book? It talks about the beast that comes out of what? The sea. What's the sea? Instability. But it also speaks about another beast, who's the Antichrist. He appears like a lamb, but he's not. He doesn't come out of the sea. Where does he come out of? The land. Stability. See, the beast, the goat, is going to bring stability. He's going to bring peace. He's going to bring prosperity. And the Antichrist is going to come up and he knows something. He knows God's plans and purposes. Now, let me go off on a tangent for a moment. If you look sometime at the book of Revelation and chapter 21, we're dealing with the new Jerusalem, correct? A new heaven and a new earth. And when you look at the new Jerusalem, there's a number that appears over and over and over. It talks about that there's going to be a wall with how many gates? 12 gates. It also says that those 12 gates are going to have foundations. How many foundations? 12. When we measure the city, it's going to be 12,000 furlongs. By 12,000, by 12,000. It talks about the 24 elders, which are 2 times what? 12. I mean, one has to be very, very intent on not understanding that when you look at the New Jerusalem, the number 12 appears over and over and over and over. For what purpose it says? For this number 12 represents the 12 tribes of what? Israel. The number 12 also represents 12 what? Disciples or apostles. Very significant. These 12 apostles, they are what? They are the foundations. It says the 12 foundations are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. What are they the foundation of? The gates and the walls. What does that have to do with Israel? So, biblically speaking, those who follow after the Lamb, what do they do? Support who?
Israel.
Don't miss that. Most of Christianity misses that. A few days ago, I was asked to speak at another place on Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Great passage of Scripture. It's about a Gentile, a centurion. And this man impressed Messiah. What impressed him? He had a faith that impressed him. Let me ask you. Do you have a faith that impresses Messiah? You should. Let me tell you how you do it. What it says concerning him is that the Jewish elders said against this Gentile, this is fabulous. I mean, by and large, what you find is that the Romans really didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like who? Romans. But what you find here is that the Jewish elders said to Yeshua concerning this centurion, this Roman soldier, that he is worthy. And they say two things. He loves, Luke chapter 7 verse 5, he loves our people. What else has he done? He's built us a synagogue. Let me ask you something. How many of you have been to Capernaum or Kfar Nahum? Many of you. What is the main thing that we see there? The synagogue. Now, I've been there with some of you, and oftentimes when I'm there with a group, I ask them a question. I say, see this synagogue? Sure. Who built it? Never have I ever got an answer. I said, the Bible says. One time some guy says, the Jewish people built it. I said, no. The Scripture says that Roman centurion, he built for us the synagogue. He loved the Jewish people and he demonstrated his love. What do we see in the book of Revelation? We see that the teachings of the apostles of the Lamb, they supported the tribes of Israel. Now, why is Israel, that number 12, repeated over and over in the New Jerusalem? To show the connection between Israel and the kingdom. Let me promise you something. And I can be assured that this promise is going to be kept, because it's just not mine. It's Messiah's. He says, I'm not coming again, not talking about the rapture, but talking about the establishment of the kingdom of God. He says, I'm not going to do it until Israel's ready and they welcome me. They say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, no one, and don't miss this, no one knows the importance of Israel more in the establishment of the kingdom of God. Let me ask it this way. Who doesn't want the kingdom of God to be established? Satan. So, what we know is this. The Antichrist, which is a type of Satan incarnate, he is going to tried to lure the Jewish people to be faithful, to be His people and not God's people. If He can get them to worship Him rather than the God of Israel, He defeats God's plans. That's what He's all about. But He's going to be not successful. Initially, during this time of peace, world prosperity, security, He's even going to allow the temple to be rebuilt. He's going to do great things for Israel. And eventually, He's going to go into that temple. And what's He going to say? You all know this. I'm your Messiah. More than that, I'm your God. Worship Me. Now, let's go back a little bit. When He's doing all these fabulous things for Israel, initially, the Jewish people are going to like Him and receive Him as the leader. Also, the world is going to like this peace and prosperity. And one of the things that He's going to emphasize, He's going to say, remember how it was before I came. Remember what was happening with that ram. And what is the ram going to be known for? Religious, help me out, religious extremism. Even today, you hear a lot about, do you not, on the news? Religious extremism. How bad that is. And what's going to happen is, people are going to remember those extreme religious Muslims and what was brought about through Islam. All this hardship and death and oppression. And when the Antichrist comes, he's going to say, we had none of that. There's going to be religious pluralism. Meaning everyone can do what is right, how? In his own eyes. And all religions are what? All religions are on the same par. What's not going to be tolerated is for someone to believe that their religion is the one and only true religion. You know, there's going to be a group of people, and it's not going to be Israel. Because remember those 25 rabbis that represent Judaism. They'll say, you know what, the Gentiles, if you want to worship Jesus, you go right ahead and do it. You want to be a Hindu? That's fine too. Orthodox Judaism says there are numerous ways into the kingdom of God for the Gentiles, but just one for the Jew. Is that true?
No.
No. It's false. They're going to have no problems initially with this religious pluralism of the Antichrist. But who is you and me? Because we are bound by biblical truth. See, most of Christianity, they don't agree with this. But you and I know that Messiah is the only way into the kingdom of God. That the Scripture, the Old and New Covenants, they and they alone are the Word of God. They and they alone contain revelation. And when we start seeing these things, because we love Yeshua, and we want to live like He lived, therefore we're going to be very interested in who? The prophets, exactly. And therefore we're going to be able to discern, the ram. The ram is growing in power today. The ram has its purpose, its strategy. The ram is on the move. You aware of that? And when we look at ISIS, which is a good example, but it's not the ram. See, you know what ISIS is doing right now? The world is focusing upon ISIS. And you know who they're not focusing upon? Iran, the ram. And what we find is everything that ISIS is doing is giving more power to Iran. Because of ISIS, who's coming into Iraq? Iran. We see Iran growing in its influence over and over, expanding. And this country has enabled Iran to get $150 billion. And also the right to begin to sell and to trade. And let me tell you, countries have lined up to go to Tehran for business purposes. Iran is growing much stronger today. The scripture says, don't take my word, look at Daniel chapter 8. It says, the ram is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Not that fourth one, but that same geographical area. And Iran, more than any other country that's Islamic, it's trying to spread. Iran has a very, in their mindset, a very prophetic, do they not? A very prophetic and end times desire. And what do they want to do? What do they always talk about doing? Destroying Israel. So this is all coming into shape. So what I want you to see is, out of nowhere, the ram is going to be destroyed by the goat. And that goat is going to be a resurrected European empire. And what we're going to see as we begin tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we're going to see how the characteristics of that eighth empire, what Daniel calls the goat, we're going to see what John says in the book of Revelation about this empire and why we see the connection between the Nazi Germany 75 years ago and what's going to happen in the future. And we're going to pull this all together so that we see the role that Islam will play and the role of this final empire and how it all comes together prophetically. Let me close with this. We are living in a very prophetic time. Things are happening around us. I don't know about you, but when I look at this country and I look at it over the last 5, 10, 15 years, I've seen more change in the character of America than probably 50, 70, 100 years previously. Things are changing. People's perspective are changing drastically. Things that you could not imagine taking place. Things that this world is approving would never be approved 5, 10, 15 years ago. Things, for example, and I'm not wanting to make this political tonight. I thought some of you would laugh, but that's okay. I mean, things that our current president, President Obama, things that he could not say, would not agree with, now he supports and he champions in just 7 short years. We are at the threshold of one of the most prophetic periods of time. The question is, are the body of believers, are you and I perceiving this? Are we understanding this? And are we wise enough to be praying, to be prepared, that we might be faithful, that we might persevere, and that we might speak truth in the midst of darkness? For that's my prayer in Yeshua's name. And we all say, Amen. Amen.